Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. I am your host. My name is Dan Reichert. I am sitting here with my wife, the lovely Bianca Reichert. How are you doing, honey?
Doing well. Ready to pan some streams.
That's what we do here on Panning the Stream, is we pan streams. And this stream that we're going to pan this time, the stream is called Rock of Love, a TV show starring Bret Michaels.
Yes.
He wants to find love. Bret Michaels does.
Yeah, he's lonely in life. I guess he had a long-term girlfriend at one point, and then he, you know, it was either that or he was having these, like, intense on-the-road bus trysts, and now he wants to find something a little more stable.
Yeah, it sounds like he did the full-on 80s hair metal, you know.
Well, I wouldn't call it metal. Let's call it glam rock.
Glam rock, too, but people say hair metal. Like, I'm not comparing. I know you're the metal expert, but, like, I'm not saying it's... I'm not equating it with other metal. I'm just saying...
I know, but I think glam rock is probably the more appropriate label.
I agree, too. But hair metal is a term people use, right?
Yeah,
maybe inaccurate?
Yeah. I don't think Poison is really... It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't sound... No.
Nitpicking.
Anyway, he's a guy that sang some fairly bad songs in the 80s and got pretty famous.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Unskinny Bop.
They also did, probably the only one I could name is Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Uh-huh.
Girls, Girls, Girls was Motley Crue, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of interchangeable. I just never really got into that genre or era. And in fact, I was always frustrated when people lumped Guns N' Roses in with that, because I felt like they were so different than the rest of that, of their time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were L.A. and some of that early GNR stuff, they had the hair and all that, but blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Bret Michaels and Poison. They were one of the big ones of that era and that genre.
Right, but and yet I could only think of three of their songs.
I'm sure there are plenty. Like, there were plenty that, like, when they were introducing Bret Michaels at the beginning of this show, that I was like, oh, right, I've heard of that song. I can't off the top of my head.
Well, let's just take a moment to paint the picture of, I guess this is mid-40s Bret Michaels. I mean, this was 10 years ago. I believe he's 55 years old now. Mid-40s Bret Michaels has just the worst fake hair I've ever seen on a man.
It's very much the, like, trying to, like, it's like, oh, well, people expect, like, you know, kind of the feathered, like, hair metal hair or whatever. And, like, he's trying to keep it up in 2007 when this was made.
Well, I'm going to go one step further and just say it's a wig of some kind. It looks very unnatural. I mean, the way it's, like, combed back, and if it is real, it's sprayed to hell. And he also wears guy liner.
Right.
And he dresses like, I feel like, all the guys who wear Affliction clothing probably also dress.
Yes.
When, like, they're not wearing Affliction branded clothing.
Right, right. It's very much, in 07, I bet, like, Ed Hardy was the thing. I felt like I saw that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Which, that's kind of interchangeable with maybe, like, Ed Hardy and Affliction. It seems to be the same demographic and style and
yeah,
all that stuff.
I think that's accurate.
Which, speaking of style, the logo of the show is just Scott Steiner's chest tattoo. It's just the heart with the sword through it.
Yeah, can we talk about the name of this show for a second?
Yeah, it's called Rock of Love.
I'm not sure what that means.
I'm trying to remember, because, like, VH1 had a hit with Flavor of Love.
That before?
That's what I'm trying to wonder, because Flavor of Love, I guess, makes more sense, right? It's also weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, love doesn't really have a flavor. At least it shouldn't.
No.
If my love had a flavor, what would it taste like?
It'd be very sweet.
Oh, but like what?
Like, it'd be like a citrus fruit.
Oh, yes. My favorite.
Yes, I know.
Oh, how kind.
Yes, yes. But a rock of love, I think it's like, oh, do you want to be my rock? Do you want to be like, oh.
So I guess, but then also he's like a rock star in quotes.
I think they probably thought they were clever when they came up with the title of the show, but I think it's kind of a stretch. I don't know. If it... For the folks at home, I assume that picked up. Usually pretty good about clearing the area of dog toys and taking his jingle jangle necklace off him. That's a little Razor Dog making his Panning the Stream debut. Hey, bud, can I have that?
So the object of the show is Bret Michaels wants to find his soulmate, and apparently wrangling 25 of the most beautiful women in the world.
They did it. The show spared no expense. They did the research. They sent the scientists out to the far reaches of the globe.
They determined the exact most attractive women in the universe and pulled them all together. 25 ladies in one spot. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, like, the Victoria's Secret fashion show has nothing on this.
It's not 25 of the most beautiful women in the world. This is the 25 most beautiful women in the world
assembled.
I've never
seen a woman more beautiful than... You could pluck out any one of these ladies.
25 of them.
Ugh, and, you know, not to mention their brains, but that's just an added feature.
Yes.
Anyway,
they did some great research here, because they have to find the right one for Bret Michaels, because he heard at 15 the secret to love, which was, hey, there's a lot of women that you want to be friends with. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of women that you want to have sex with. Mm-hmm. You got to find one that makes you want both, and he knows deep in his loins that one of those 25 most beautiful women in the world is the one for him.
All right.
He's pretty confident about this. And of that 25, here are some names. We've got Rodeo, Faith, Christia, Magdalena, Dallas, and numerous Brandies.
Many Brandies.
Yes, so that's, I think, what you would expect from the names of this group.
So let's talk about, like, the very first scene in this fucking show. So all the ladies who, you know, have flown in from all parts of the country...
Including Illinois, because we got Miss Hooters of Illinois, and since she won that, she has all the tools she needs to succeed.
Yeah, that's all you need, really, yes. To win Bret Michaels' heart. I mean, honestly, I'm being truthful. Yeah, that would do it. Seems like that would totally do it. At any rate, so they're all standing there outside of this mansion that Bret rented for, or the show rented for Bret, I don't know. And then, so Bret Michaels comes out, introduces himself, Big John, who kind of looks like Meatloaf.
I thought he looked like Jose Canseco.
What? Really? I thought he looked like a short-haired Meatloaf.
I thought he was like a tubbier Jose Canseco. Maybe I got Canseco on the brain. I don't know.
You always have Canseco on the
brain.
It's
true, yeah. It's a horrible affliction.
Anyway, so he introduces himself, he leaves, and then Big John seemingly randomly selects five women out of the 25 girls that are standing in front of him. And it cuts to, like, interviews with some of the girls that aren't chosen, and they're expressing concern over not having been chosen. Like, oh, I flew all the way out here. Why? I want to be chosen. It's always bad when you're not chosen in a reality show. And then they learn that it's actually good that they weren't chosen, because apparently Big John picked out the five ugliest women and told them to go home.
They don't say it outright, but it's pretty clear what's going on. Like, I think they're doing the thing that you hear about, like, you know, rock bands having the dude that would, like, bring in the hottest girls and bring them backstage and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and that's what they're playing on here, definitely.
It's one thing to, like, pluck out the hottest ladies from the audience, but to, like, gather all the ladies and tell certain ones, like, oh, you're not hot enough.
Yeah.
And why did they have him fly out in the first place? This is, the like, essentially the first thing that happens in the show is this. So why didn't they just... It's clearly just trying to... What they wanted to do is what happened, where one of the girls, in this case, it was Tiffany.
Right.
Like, begged and pleaded to stay on the show. And that was, you know, a perfect situation. You reliably creates drama. And it really annoyed me, too. I mean, Tiffany was a piece of work, obviously. She was a...
We'll get to her.
But all the other girls, like, know that she got kicked off the show earlier because she wasn't attractive enough. And you could tell all the other girls think they're so much better than her for not having... Like, the way they treat her and they talk down to her and they're, like, grouping together. Like, just the most catty shit. It just pisses me the fuck off. Like, yeah, Tiffany doesn't seem that great of a person. But I just can't stand that fucking cattiness. Like, just because Big John thinks you're hotter than her... That makes you better than her?
Well, I think the show is definitely, like, early on super trying to, like, force, like, oh, here's the alliances and here's the rivalries. And you're right. Like, Tiffany is kind of treated as, like, the cast-off that wasn't good enough for the main thing.
Right. And all the girls seem to think that as well, and they're treating her like that.
Yeah, which, again, I want to get to a larger conversation with Tiffany later on, but, like... She was definitely brought in to be the, like, hey, she's the drunken mess of this group. Which actually, yeah, later on, Bret does say, after talking to Tiffany, he says, this is not verbatim, but this is basically what he said. He goes, there's something about her that screams, I'm on a lot of chemicals right now. And it's strange, but it kind of turns me on.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Everything he says, like, whenever they cut to him in an interview, it's always just talking about how hot these women are. Like, everything turns this guy on. And, like, I was staring at his crotch for a lot of the show, and he always has a boner.
Really?
Constant boner. God. And it's really awkward. Like, I was just thinking, like, there's this guy alone in a room with jeans on and a boner, and all these ladies trying to rile him up. It's just a little freaky.
I mean, I guess that is the idea of the show, is they're just kind of evoking on, like, oh, rock star and groupies thing. But, like, that's a relic of the 80s. Well, I mean, obviously, there's still rock stars and groupies and stuff like that. But I think the thing they're playing on is very much that, like, L.A., glam rock, those bands, right? Like, Motley Crue and Poison, like, played on that image quite a bit.
I feel like, too, in the early 2000s, reality TV shows tried to be as, like, trashy as possible. Do you remember? Because, like, I'm watching this now, and I feel like... Not that we've grown as a people, but I feel like our standards for TV watching has might have, you know, we've discussed this in prior episodes. You know, we expect more from our TV.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe it's a product of the internet and people, like, having instant access to whatever they want to see. Like, this trashiness doesn't have that edge anymore, and instead it's just purely sleazy.
Yeah, it feels like a relic that should be from longer ago than 2007. Like, right. It feels like more of a relic of, like, when Springer and stuff like that, or even, like, old Stern stuff, you know, was being, like, super edgy, like, mid to late 90s, Attitude Era wrestling, you know, like, where everything was going for that kind of sleaze, right. Edge thing. And then you realize, like, this is from 2007, and it's just like, man, this, it feels like it should be older than that for...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're definitely playing on the groupie stuff, you know, even the security guy. Like, so that thing at the beginning when he kicks the five girls off, it's basically, oh, you're not allowed backstage, you're not hot enough. So he has the 20 come back, and he lays down the ground rules, saying, like, three rules. Don't go into Brett's room unannounced, don't touch the guitars, and don't puke in the jacuzzi. So we get to meet the girls here because 20 of them run in and immediately start getting wasted. One of them's like banging on drums. We hear a lot of stuff of them talking about each
literally
other.
Banging. Like she yeah. tries to make it seem like, oh, I can relate to Brett because I'm a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
But horrible on the drums.
Yeah. And so we're hearing a lot of stuff, like little quips from these girls and, you know, with whip sound effects between catty insults and like tons of guitar riffs throughout the entire show as transitions. And so... they're just making no bones about it. Like, they let these girls in the house, and it's just instant, hey, everyone's getting wasted. They're all sitting around talking about each other's boobs and, like, feeling each other up and talking about, you know, who's got the best fake boobs and stuff like that. And it's around this point, it's in the get-to-know-you phase, when Tiffany shows up.
Right.
So the cast-off comes back. Big John answers the door, and she explains twice to him that, like, you gotta let me in. I made a hat. I had a hat made for this. Like, let me in, please. Like, that's like the universal pass. Is I made a hat.
Right, yeah.
So she does get to be back in. I mean, this is obviously a thing that was set up. That definitely was not a thing where she was, like, hanging out, hiding in a bush for the few hours that they were letting the girls in or whatever.
Right, and why would you want to participate in something that cast you off just because this guy thought you weren't attractive enough?
You know,
and frankly, like... why aren't the other girls more upset about this? I feel like I would be really perturbed, even if I wasn't one of the women that was cast off, which I most certainly would have been.
You say, like, you know, why would you want to be on something if you were cast off? But, like, the type that would even apply and agree to be on a show like this, mm-hmm. I think they just kind of want that fame, and they want that no matter what, no matter right. how desperate or sleazy the show might make things seem.
I agree. And I'm not too familiar with this style of reality TV show where, like, a bunch of people are competing for the affection of one person.
Right, right.
It's very weird.
Yes.
And it's what amazes me is that, like, all these girls immediately are crazy about Brett Michaels.
Yes.
Like, immediately. Like, that Brandy girl, the one whose parents got her the fake tits.
Yeah, the one who's, like, constantly like, why aren't you paying attention
to
me?
She's just whiny and horrible, but she's, like, fucking upset. And realize, like, it's less about Brett and probably just more about, like, I want to stick around in the show for a long time. And this is the grand prize of the show, I guess, is fucking Brett Michaels' cock.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of these girls are of the age where, like, they certainly were not around during his heyday. So, I bet it's just a good amount of them were people that just wanted to be on a reality show
right.
and heard about this. And it's like, oh, I guess I'll Google this guy and find out who he is if they even go that far. Because, yeah, none of this is about, like, nobody's, like, naming poison songs or having chats with them about the band. It's just like,
right.
oh, he's a rock star. He's famous. They're making a show. I get to be on TV. That's definitely the vibe you get from the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the music by any means. But they do this thing where the first time Brett meets all the girls is this, like, photo shoot thing where it's like, oh, I want to take a bunch of sexy photos of all you girls. And it's just him... they get in front of, like, a step and repeat thing, and Brett's just taking photos of him.
Yeah, so the first girl that takes the photo just immediately goes and starts making out with Brett. And
Rodeo,
then
yeah.
That was Rodeo that did that?
I wrote down, Rodeo makes out with him, Tiffany immediately does afterwards.
Well, anyway, whoever did it immediately set the standard so, like, everyone else had to make out with him violently as well.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know about you, Dan, but, like, I'm fine watching people make out, but there was something extremely gross about the make out stuff going on here.
Yeah, it's a lot of close-ups, and it's like, look, we're not prudes. We can watch people, like, doing their business, but this is, like, it's just something sleazy about the whole thing.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, just, there's just so much makeup on everyone, and it's this close-up of this weird sloppy kissing with the people that don't know each other at all, and, like,
yeah.
I don't know why that is so much, like, I don't know, it feels sleazier than, like, porn, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because... I'm trying to put my finger on why that is.
Well, porn is staged, first of all.
It's staged, and that's the whole purpose. It's like, hey, listen, this is what people are fucking, here you go.
Well, yeah, and this is supposedly something that happened in real life. I mean, however scripted the show may or may not be, they were actually doing that.
Yeah.
In front of a bunch of people they don't know, making out with some guy they didn't know. I don't know, the lady in me, like, I'm not a lady.
You're
I'm
a lady.
Fancy. Am I a lady?
You're a lady.
Whatever. It's just very repulsive. Like, I'm all for making out with super hot guys, but Bret Michaels is
wait,
fucking
what?
Gross. I mean, you know,
God, wait. Prior, we need to unpack this here.
Prior to, you know, my relationship with you.
All right, we need to talk.
But this guy, he's just really sleazy. All he says is, oh, she's got to be hot, she's got to be cool, she's got to be sexy. Like, that's everything he fucking says.
Yes.
Like, oh, fucking Tiffany, who's sloppy and drunk and rambling and not making any sense, fucking goes and sits on his cock and, like, hops up and down, and he's like, oh, yeah, it turns me on.
Well, that happens constantly. I don't know how many scenes are, like, him hanging out by a pool or him hanging out with a bunch of girls, and Tiffany just runs in and just jumps on his dick, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens constantly.
That's her main quality.
Jumping on penises, yes. So, yeah, there's one scene where, like, five girls are sitting on his lap, and is this Tiffany? This is when Tiffany first gets mad that she's not getting enough attention, which is a recurring thing throughout the show. And you're right. Every time he talks about any of these girls, like, he might have, like, a passing mention of their personality, but, like, there's that Tamara girl that we don't really see much of. And she seems like she's on something. You know, she seems
a lot of
like,
these girls seem like not with it, like not even pot, just like beyond, like they seem like they have some kind of issues.
It seems like, yeah, some like pills mixed with booze or something. Mm-hmm. Like there's several conversations that are just like, oh,
very
man, I don't know.
And weird.
Yeah, it's I don't think a reality show today would air a lot of stuff that this show aired.
I agree.
Just like 11 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's this show especially is so misogynistic. I mean, like everything is either like, oh, how hot this girl is. The girls are making assholes of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Tamara, I remember, like, she wasn't making any sense. Like, he would ask her a very simple question.
Yeah, like, hey, what do you think about being on this show? Is this crazy?
And then she would just respond in the most, like, weird way that made absolutely no sense. And then he says on his little interview part, he's like, oh, he doesn't mind her idiocy because of her how banging her body is.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's impossible to talk to her, but man, check out those boobs.
Yeah. Like it's just, are all guys like that?
No.
Like, are you able to overlook,
No.
Really?
Glaring personality issues, or
if they're like unbelievably hot.
No, and I mean every guy's different. You know, you can't generalize that. Like, you know, not every guy is like Bret Michaels. Bret Michaels is, you know, a very specific type of dude. And I have met dudes that, you know, not like rock star dudes, but just like dudes in college that had those kind of attitudes.
Yeah.
And would look past. Like, I had plenty of friends that were in extremely toxic and horrible relationships with girls they had nothing in common with just because they thought they were hot. So, like, that is definitely a thing that happens.
I'm talking, like, even just, like, a one-night stand scenario. Like, if, and I know it's less of an investment, but I feel like you at least want to be with someone that you can have a conversation
yes.
with.
Well, I mean, that's because that is how most one-night stands happen, I would imagine, is that, like, you know, you meet at a bar or something, and there has to be some spark there of conversation or having fun or something. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just point at someone that you find attractive, and they point at you, and you hop in a car,
that's
you know?
That's not how it works?
No, I don't think so. Not how it worked for me at all.
Huh.
There are certainly guys like that, and I think it probably happened more 10, 11, 12 years ago, but they're definitely obviously still out there today. I just try not to hang out with too many guys like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are a lot of ladies that will just do the same thing. But anyway, so the girls just try desperately to cling to any kind of thing that they might have in common with Bret. Like, one girl notices Bret's tattoo. I guess it has his daughter's birthday on
it.
And she's like, oh, that's my birthday, too. And then she freaks out, because, like, that's apparently a big deal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, these other girls don't stand a chance. I already have a connection with Bret, and, like,
yeah,
he's mine.
I have the same birthday as your daughter.
And I think that, yeah, that is super weird, and that's Heather, right? I think that's Heather that says that.
I don't know. They all just melded into the same weird amalgam of sleaziness and giant boobs.
I think that's Heather, but, yeah, she's extremely cocky about, like, I'm going to win this fucking thing. And by the way, this is still on episode one. We cover two episodes here. We're going to get to the finale soon. But yeah, we get to the end after, like, it's this whole episode is like a let's get to know the girls and all this stuff. And it's just the big ceremony thing that you see all the time in reality shows. They're all standing up on this, like, stage thing. And then Bret comes out and he's got 15 backstage passes to hand out. And six of them aren't going to get it and
so
they have
cheesy.
To go. It's super cheesy. And the thing he says when he gives the backstage pass to someone is like, would you rock my world?
Mm-hmm.
And that means they get to stay on the show. And it gets down to the final one, and, you know, there's like seven of them standing on the stage. Brandy C, the one who's getting very jealous all the time, is like freaking out about this, and then she gets the final pass. He says something like, oh, I just feel like I haven't, you know, seen enough of her. Even though, like, she has done nothing but, like, whine and complain the entire show and been,
like,
super
actually
weird.
Whine. Super whiny.
Oh, the voice is unbelievable.
It's like a shrieking.
Yes. But
you
then...
You said you would play pool with me!
That's not even an exaggeration, I don't think, what you're doing right now. Yeah, but then, in case we didn't have enough pieces of work on the show, Tiffany... Turns out, for some reason, she gets another lifeline here. She was kicked off once, and then she told a guy that she made a hat, and she got back on. And now she didn't get a pass again, and Brett's like, oh, hey, we're going to have a bonus person here. I think there's something in you, Tiffany,
yeah.
Which that is guaranteed a producer pulling
that's
on
exactly
like,
what
she's
I was
fucking
thinking.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She makes for good TV.
That was totally done at the behest of one of the producers.
Absolutely.
A goldmine of drama.
There's no fucking way. Which, I mean, to be fair, though, like, even to everyone that got knocked off the show, even, you know, we were talking about the five getting kicked off for not being hot enough at the beginning, and then the six to get kicked off here. They can take solace in the fact that they are still, like, numbers, what, 16 to 25 hottest women in the world.
Nothing will ever take that away.
You can't take that away. Not age, not the show, not getting kicked off. No, they are still in the top 25, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And then we, at the end of the first episode, we get a this season on. And it just looks like it's every dumbass reality show challenge thing. Ever, like, the show is about finding love, but then it's like, Brent lost his lucky guitar pick in the dumpster. Who can find it? It's like, yeah, that's how you find your life soulmate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how I found you.
That is true. You found my Waluigi amiibo in a dumpster.
I was digging around in the dumpster, as I do every Saturday morning. And I came upon a dirty photo of you from a Game Informer magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I was immediately turned on. I started to hump the banana peels. And
wow.
Eventually, I humped my way all the way to San Francisco, and I found you.
You made an online dating account as soon as you saw that picture. When
it was like I was doing the worm across the United States. Just
yeah,
humping,
that's how you got here?
Because I was so unbelievably horny from that photo.
I remember you shared your location on the Google Maps thing, and it was going really slow, and I texted you, and you're like, oh, I'm worming across the States. Yeah, I was like, oh, that explains
it. I wormed across the U.S. for you.
It's a separate thing. It's next to the public transportation and walking directions on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of just a straight line. You can worm anywhere.
Yeah.
So in the same montage of this season, it's just this, like, extended thing of girls crying and puking and getting injured in football. It just seems like a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it really does. And bear in mind, too, like, obviously this behavior is, like, super sleazy and just the most horrible reality shit you can imagine. But they're also unbearable people. Like, even if they were just sitting around, like, drinking wine and having, like, polite conversation, they're unbearable.
To be fair, I would say there are some of them that do not seem, like, egregiously terrible people. Obviously, there are some life choices in wanting to be on a show like this you can question priorities or motivations or whatever, but like there are some that are just kind of like in the background for a lot of it and not really doing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more to these people than what they present on the TV show,
right.
But I can only work with what they're giving me here.
Oh, based with just what we're seeing here, yeah, it's they are nightmare people.
All right, let's jump to the finale.
Okay, so the finale is called The Rose and the Thorn. By the way, episode one was called Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time. So we're going to fast
forward. Which is
something
that Tiffany says repeatedly.
Right. So when we say finale, we did not watch the reunion episode, which is a standard reality show thing. We were watching the actual finale where it's we're down to the two girls, which the two girls are Heather... who is the one who had the same birthday, I think, got really cocky. And then Jess, who in the first episode is fairly quiet. She's this girl with this, like, weird hair. It's, like, pink in the front.
She has, like, pink hair in the front, and then the rest of her hair looked like it was all, like, staticky and up in the air. But now it looks like by the end of the show, she's calmed down her hair a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And
she's 23 years old.
Yeah, and Brett's how old in this
thing? 45 or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're doing. they do a earlier this year montage of stuff that's happened throughout the season. And it seems like there was just like immediate like babyface and heel factions within the women. Like they basically say like, oh yeah, the girls split off and we got these that are the good girls. And you know, all the heel girls being like, oh yeah, these goody two shoes.
Yeah, no, Rock of Love is pretty much wrestling.
I mean, yeah. Attitude Era wrestling. Right. Yes. It turns out that Heather at some point got a Brett neck tattoo, which just a great, great life decision. Nothing can go wrong there, ask the Undertaker. And then one of them, it turns out, had a fiance, like a secret fiance, and had to leave the show as a result because she lied about that. And so the finale is going to be Brett taking Jess and Heather to Mexico on a private jet.
They're going down, San Lucas.
They're going down to Cabo.
I feel like when I was growing up and MTV had those like spring break specials, it was always at Cabo San Lucas. And really? Whenever I imagined that place, I'd always be like, oh, there's all these fun party people over there and everyone there was having a good time. I mean, I was, like, probably 10 when I thought this stuff.
I've been to Cabo San Lucas, and it does seem like there is a lot of drinking and partying and stuff there, but it's also just kind of, it's kind of a naturally beautiful area, and, like, we see some of the, like, dune buggy stuff. That's what I did with Tim and Ben, and, like, it's fun. It's cool.
But did you see the MTV Spring Breaks?
I only saw the Nitro episodes where they went to spring break, and, like, it would always end with, like, Kevin Nash throwing some dude into a pool.
Mm, I learned a lot about sex watching those shows.
MTV?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Watching the spring break shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
I learned about sex from the first Terminator movie.
Was there sex in that
movie? That's when Kyle Reese travels back in time and impregnates Sarah Connor and gives birth to the leader of the Resistance, John Connor.
Oh, I don't even really remember that sex scene.
It's they're playing like a really sweet, somber version of the Terminator theme on piano. it's genuinely touching. While they're just like in bed, because I remember I had no sense of what sex was before I saw the scene. I was watching this movie with my mom, and it's just like close-ups of like I knew they both weren't wearing shirts, but then there's like close-ups of their hands like grasping at like the sheets and grasping each other. I know. I remember I turned to my mom like, "Mom, what's going on here? I have no idea what's happening." And she's like, "Oh, they're having sex." And I was like, "What's that?" So Terminator taught me what sex is. So,
oh boy.
Anyway, we're down in Cabo, and they're each girl is going to get a full day with Bret Michaels, and Heather wins the first day, and so that's just like this dune buggy thing. Nothing really happens there.
Well, what happens is Bret Michaels feels like he's about to go into like an insulin shock.
Yes.
And Heather seems pretty lackadaisical about the whole thing. If you had diabetes and I was somewhere with you and you felt that, I would be like, all right, let's leave where we are.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
get you some fucking gushers or whatever you need.
Hell yeah.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either, but that sounds great.
Yeah, but she's like, oh no, they kept dune buggy riding. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, they buggy around for a while. He seems like he probably shouldn't continue to do this. It seems like he should
he keeps saying like, oh, I want to eat.
Yeah, several times. Like, we should probably go get a dinner or something. And then she's like driving over like hills and stuff. All right, sure. They've all got their priorities on the show. So anyway, they wind up having this like drunken conversation once they're done dune buggying, and they go upstairs to just certainly have sex. The show does not blatantly say it, but it's super duper clear they have sex. And also the next morning, Heather sees Jess, and Jess is like, how was your night? And Heather goes, I was naked all night. It was amazing. Because that's how humans talk.
Yep, that's how us girls talk.
I was naked all night. So, we're on to Jess's date, which is on a yacht. Brett takes Jess onto this yacht. And a surprising amount of the show is about his diabetes, because that's also the big finale of him and Jess, is he's kind of explaining the needle thing and how he feels like he might go into insulin shock. Like, they're having, like, dinner after the yacht thing. And he just seems to be feeling pretty bad. And
yeah.
I just kind of felt like, this is weird. I don't think they should be filming this thing. They should probably be just, like, helping him and then getting back to the sleazy, stupid show. Like, this show doesn't have the chops to, like, handle anything even remotely serious, I don't think.
But, and Jess doesn't really seem to be up to the task either. She seems kind of overwhelmed with the prospect of having his life in her hands.
Yeah, and also, it was just impossible to just kind of, like, suspend disbelief and not think, like, oh, well, there's obviously, he's got diabetes. There's probably a crew doctor right off camera ready to go. And we're making this whole scene about, like, if I pass out, you got to take this and put it in my ass. And it's like, no, they're not going to give it to Jess. They're going to have some crew dude or doctor run in. Like, they're going to be ready for this.
Oh, boy.
So they go to a jacuzzi and they get naked again. Who knows what happened after that? So then the girls go back to LA, but Brett stays behind for a day because he really needs some time to stare off into the distance while he's on the balcony of his hotel, and he has to listen to his own shitty songs in his head while he's thinking about life and women and relationships.
This is leading up to the finale where he chooses which women, and he's reflecting on his life, and he says, that he had had his heart broken by an exotic dancer before.
Yes.
He's worried that it'll happen again with Heather. That's like me saying, like, oh, I had my heart broken by a producer at CBS before, so now I've sworn off all producers from CBS Interactive.
Right. To be fair, there are probably way more exotic dancers than CBS producers, so a larger sample pool, I would say.
Well, yeah, but even that, I mean, like, so he had his heart broken by one exotic dancer. There's like millions of them.
I had my heart broken by a girl from New Jersey once. Can't do it again.
No,
that's not how that works. But it's just so telegraphed what's going to happen here. It's like, Heather is super duper cocky, just totally being the heel. Like, I'm totally going to win. Like, you know, makes her hair done up all crazy.
Oh my God, she looks, I'm just going to say it, she looks fucking horrible at this finale. Like, her hair, it looks like she hadn't combed her hair in days and had just, like, gotten up out of bed. Her dress doesn't fit her right. It looks like a horribly, like, it looks like a trailer trash prom dress. It's got, like, these giant holes in it, and her titties are hanging out. And it's so, it's just so cheap looking. And then Jess has, like, a prom dressy kind of thing. I don't know why these people hear gown and they think prom dress. But
I feel like Heather is kind of going for the look that, like, you know, back in Michael's heyday, the type of girls he was probably sleeping with, like the girls that came to the concerts and dressed up, probably looked a bit like Heather there with the hair all done up and teased and, like, the weird dress and everything. Like, I don't know. Couldn't you see that being, like, the groupie type at a Poison concert?
I guess. It's, like, seems very 80s.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like she was trying to, whether consciously or not, it's like, oh, this is probably what Brett likes, you know, he's this 80s guy, you know, 80s rocker, this is probably the look that they like. So who knows, maybe we're overthinking Heather's wardrobe choices here, but she's super cocky, she's definitely gonna win. And then it's like Jess brooding in the back of a car talking about, like, her lack of confidence. It's like, oh, I just don't know, I don't know if he likes me enough. And, like, the show's not gonna fucking do this thing where Heather wins. So sure enough, well, we get one little twist here. Before he announces who he's picked, he asks if both of them will be his girlfriend.
He was having such a hard time choosing. He just asked if both of them. And, yes, like, for me, if I was there, I mean, granted, this whole show has been him making out with a bunch of different women. But, like, if you asked me, like, hey, can I have this other girl as my girlfriend, too? I'd be like, fuck you, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
I mean, it's so, can you even imagine, like, putting aside the infidelity part of it, like, being in an actual, like, committed relationship is so much work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I mean, obviously, I don't feel, like, exhausted, but, like you right. know, trying to maintain. It's totally natural with you and me, but it's still, like, you occupy a great deal of my life, and I can't imagine, like, having to split that between two people.
Yeah, throwing in an X factor, and, like, each individual of that, like, triangle has to, like, have that connection. Like, obviously, some people try it and do it, you know, poly people and everything, and, hey, I know people that do the poly thing. It has just always seemed like, you know, like you said, if you would have said the same thing to me, like, oh, I'm going to have, hey, here's Steve. I'd be like, fuck you, Steve. Get out of here.
I guess my feelings are, like, if you can't get what you need from one person, then maybe that person isn't the right person for you.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we are the strictly monogamous type, and I think that's the way we both want it.
Yeah, but I'm sharing my monogamous perspective with the people, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. And I share that monogamous perspective with you.
Well, I certainly fucking hope so, because we would have a big issue if that wasn't the case.
That'd be a great time to bring that up on a podcast. Hey, honey, I've been thinking about something.
So I met this girl.
All right, here's Clarice. She's coming in the door right
now.
I don't know why Clarice is the first female name I thought of.
That's the name you went with. We're like having a discussion about women named Heather.
I just watched Silence of the Lambs. Sorry.
And Clarice is the name?
I don't think I've ever met a Clarice in my life.
Oh, boy.
Why was that the first one?
I don't know.
I said Steve for a guy when I came up with a fictional third guy. Or second guy. Whatever.
Anyway.
Heather, the heel, says that, oh, totally, I'm up for it. And then Jess says, no, that's not me. I can't do it. And it's unclear to me, like, was that question, like, was that him, like, was that, like, a trick question to see? Like, because he really only wants one. And if a girl said that, yes, she would share, that he didn't want her? Mm-hmm. Or was he genuinely asking that because he wanted both? Like, I didn't quite pick up on whether that was what they were going for.
Right.
I don't know. One way or another, he picks Jess.
I mean, I think from his perspective, maybe, like, okay, we know this is, like, contrived reality bullshit, and he's, like, in his mind, maybe he's thinking, like, well, I'm not actually going to end up with either of these women for the long term. Maybe I could get a threesome out of this.
Right.
You know, and if they both said yes, then, like, they'd be all banging tonight, or the night that it happened.
Tonight. 2018. It's been a long time. So yeah, it ends with him and Jess and lots of, you know, talk about, oh, I found the one, this is the girl. And like, that's it for the episodes we watched. But Bianca, if you want to, I'm going to throw to our correspondent, Bianca Reichert here.
Yes, Daniel.
Give us an update on the marriage and love between Brett Michaels and Jess.
So they were never actually together.
No.
Yeah, they never, like she ended up dating some other guy. It remains to be seen how, like, if they were together for, like, a month or anything like that. But it seems like there was no relationship there to begin with. And in the reunion episode, Jess talks, like, about how she was surprised that he didn't choose Heather. Because, like, she thought that they had a much deeper connection than she did with Brett. So she was surprised. But if you, like, look at and watch the show knowing that. Like, she's talking about how, like, oh, she wants to be with him and this and that. It's such fucking bullshit.
It honestly, it does seem like Heather is a better fit because she just seems to be like, by her own admission, like, I'm just party girl. I just want to, you know, get wasted and have sex mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It seems like for as much Brett talks about for the show that he's looking for love and everything, it just kind of seems like he's still like horny rock star Brett
right.
Michaels. You know?
And also, there are two more seasons yes. of this show.
Yes.
So obviously it didn't work out with any of the women.
Yeah, I don't know what the status of Brett Michaels is in 2018. I don't know if he's married or if anything ever came out of that. But I would wager that he did not find his true love on Rock of Love.
Apparently he had some kind of brain hemorrhage recently. So,
really?
Yeah. I don't know what we could do with that, but I'm just letting you know.
Well, get well soon, Brett Michaels.
A little aside about season two. Apparently one of the contestants on season two, this girl Megan, had her own spinoff show because maybe she was like a big personality on that show.
Right, that happens. Yeah.
And it was called Megan Wants a Millionaire. And one of the contestants on this show, after the show was done filming, murdered this other girl, not related to the show, mutilated her body, stuffed her in a fucking suitcase, and then he killed himself, 2 weeks after that.
So post-filming, pre-airing?
Pretty much, a few days or something after the show wrapped filming.
Jesus.
That show is completely lost to time. It was never aired.
And so, it never even, got out there or anything?
I think maybe, the first two episodes or something aired, but the rest... And then this guy was also on some other show, that VH1 had, where it featured, stars from all their reality shows.
Yeah.
And that show was canceled.
I feel like I've heard similar stories happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many reality shows now that, of course, it's bound to, you're bringing in these people that don't have, you don't know their histories, you don't know what kind of shit's in their past, mm-hmm. you know, outside of maybe a cursory background check or something.
Yeah.
If they even do that. That shit's gonna happen.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a huge risk if you're VH1, and it's like, well, the whole budget for that entire season of television, fuck that,
right?
I guess we lost all that.
Yeah. But if you want to read more about that guy, his name is Ryan Jenkins. Pretty crazy story.
All right. Well, that's it for Rock of Love. It's pretty much exactly what I expected that show to be.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a time capsule.
Yeah.
Right?
I think the only surprise for me was that it was, for as sleazy as it was, for it to be as recent as it was. It really does seem
10 years ago was a long time ago. I mean, I was 16 years old 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I just look like I really feel like a lot of that type of content was kind of left in the late 90s, early 2000s. I know wrestling's my timeline for everything, but even fucking wrestling had grown up a bit by that time.
Yeah.
And this was firmly in that kind of Springer era, late 90s kind of schlocky, sleazy stuff.
Right.
It felt like a relic of an earlier time than it actually was. But that's it for Rock of Love. So, I haven't looked at my notes yet to see what we're doing next week, but it's got to be better than Rock of Love, right?
It has to be. Anything could be better than Rock of Love.
All right, well, let me just turn my head and look at my notes. Oh, God, it's Battlefield Earth.
Okay, we're doing it. I've never seen it.
Bianca.
Yes, my love.
I've seen Battlefield Earth. I saw it many, many years ago. I saw it back in college. I remember, if you held a gun to my head, I would not be able to tell you a single thing that happens in that movie. And then that's why I'm okay with doing this for the show, because everything we've done so far is stuff that neither of us have seen. I've technically seen this, but outside of John Travolta looking like he got a shitty Predator outfit for Halloween, I don't remember anything about this. So we're going to watch it. It is quite possibly the worst movie I've ever seen. And again, I'm just going on remembering how I felt after watching it.
Okay.
I look forward to confirming that this is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. I'm talking maybe sub Old Dogs.
Wow.
I mean, they're virtually identical movies in terms of tone and content and genre, but I think this might be worse, but we will find out.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, we were scrolling through stuff before we recorded tonight looking for something to do, and you said the two cursed words, and I realized, oh no, we're going to have to do Battlefield Earth. So look on Netflix, type in those cursed letters and watch Battlefield Earth.
If you want, no worries.
John Travolta starring L. Ron Hubbard penned sci-fi classic on Netflix. But that'll be it for this week. Thanks to Tom Monda.
That's my brother.
That's your brother for the theme song. Thanks to everyone at home watching. And if you didn't hear last week, Anchor has a new listener support feature. So if you go to paintingthestream.com, if you're enjoying the podcast and you want to help out and support us, you can choose to support us at the $1, $5, or $10 levels. And that would be very much appreciated, but not necessary at all. You know, we're going to keep doing this show no matter what. But if you want to do that, paintingthestream.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at PanTheStream. If you want to email us any feedback or suggestions, it's PanningTheStream@gmail.com. And, honey, thanks to you, of course. Thank you for joining me, as you always do.
Oh, you're a
delight,
most welcome.
As always.
Yes, you are most welcome, Daniel.
And we will be back next week with Battlefield Earth on Netflix.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.